My guest in the studio today was last here, I think a year or so ago, to record the narration for a video we produced in Hertfordshire called A County at War. And I was intrigued by her abilities as a performer, but also I discovered that she lived locally. So I'm very pleased to welcome Imogen Slaughter, who is an actor and a teacher of drama. Tell me, first of all, how you started, how you got into acting, and why?
Well, I suppose, I mean, it sounds very naff, but, you know, it was all that I ever really wanted to do. And my father had done a lot of acting, so it was very much sort of in the family, and it was something that I knew I could do and I enjoyed doing. So I did it all through school and then applied for drama schools and was lucky enough to get in straight from school into drama school. And that's where the kind of harsh reality, I suppose, kicks in of what it really entails. And then it went from there.
So you were acting at school and you had a sense that you could do this and you enjoyed it, you wanted to do it. Did you consider going to university rather than drama school? Because they're very different, aren't they?
They are very different, and yes, I did. And very much looked into going to universities, and drama school was a sort of a, I'll try it, but I doubt I'll get in at 18. Then I went for my audition at Oxford and they offered me a place straight away. In retrospect, should I have gone to university? I might have had a lot more fun if I'd gone to university and, you know, had the student life. But I was very focused and very driven, I suppose. And so it just felt like this was the opportunity that I couldn't turn down.
You make a suggestion that drama school is not much fun.
No, drama school is fun, but it is hard work. And it's not like the regular student life. You know, you have to be in every day for a 9 o'clock dance class or a rehearsal that will go on until 10 o'clock at night. And there is no, I don't feel like going in today because I've had too much drink the night before or whatever it may be. It's a training for a life that is very disciplined, and you have to have that discipline from the off.
Let's talk about, before we come to your career so far, let's talk about what you're learning at drama school. Then you obviously have specific skills, because you said dancing, or I think in your case you ride horses. That's one of your skills that you can offer. You try and do this as an actor, don't you? You have a number of specifics. If you can,
I mean,
you
I
do
think,
sword fighting, that's quite
useful. Yes, exactly. I mean, gosh, you know, training is different to how it was when I went. So when I went to Oxford, it was only a 2-year course. Now most courses are 3 years, and they really will push you on dance and, or, you know, tick all those boxes because it's so competitive. We did historical dance, which involved a lot of going around in a circle, learning how to waltz, and that was about as far as that went. But we did do movement because it's very important as an actor to take on a character into your body. It's not just the words you speak, you have to inhabit it physically. So you have to know how your body works and you have to be free within your body. And so we did concentrate on movement. You obviously work a lot on voice technique, on dialects, on accents. Then a lot of work on texts as well and different sorts of texts, be it Shakespeare or Arthur Miller and how that differs. So there's all sorts of things, and you have to get to know yourself a bit better.
One has the sense that to be an actor, you need to know quite a lot about the broader society in which, because if you're going to get into a character, and we'll come back to the getting into the character later, perhaps we can. If you're going to get into that character, you've got to be able to get into people of all sorts of different parts of society, as well as the cultures and dialects and all that.
I also do quite a lot of auditioning, sit on the audition panel for Oxford School of Drama. And I think one of the things you always say to people is don't underestimate life experience. It is so important because you may think you want to do it with all your heart, but if you're going to play a grieving mother, not that you would have to go through that, but you have to be able to have experienced certain things that you can use to feed into that character. So even just reading lots, visiting different places, just to get that wealth of experience, you don't have to suffer it yourself. But you have to be able to call on different aspects so that you can round the characters. And that's hugely important.
Think of the characters that you've played. Which was the most difficult one for you to get into, to get inside? You talked about having to be able to get into the body as well as the not just the words.
I think there have been two that stand out for me. When I was at drama school, I played Clytemnestra. And, you know, that's a massive part. And that was hard to get into because obviously it's ancient Greek. It's a world that we don't know. It's dealing with subjects that, although are very topical in many ways, jealousy and adultery and things like that, it's set in a world that is very different, and how women are viewed was very different. So that was quite hard and quite challenging. And then recently I understudied Timon of Athens at the RSC. And that was a hard part because she's so extreme. She goes from one extreme to the other. There is no middle ground. She's not a balanced person to play. And it was quite difficult to reach those extremes of emotion.
And you've got the language to grapple with as well as all that. It's not even learning the text if you were going to forget about the characters.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And Time and Mathers is one of Shakespeare's not very well-known plays for many reasons. And I think it was a great production, but it's a hard text. And the language is very knotty. So you have to kind of get to terms with that.
When you're understudying, you have to be ready to go at a moment's notice, as well. Because the person you would replace could lose the voice.
Or halfway through, twist an ankle halfway through a show. It is the most terrifying thing ever. It's not overly enjoyable experience. It's great, but it's never your role. You know, you have to make it your own, but you have to do all the blocking and everything that another person has found. And it's very rewarding in many ways, but it is absolutely terrifying. I've never been so terrified in my life as I was.
Because you're also trying to perform another role at the same time, in the same play, on the same stage.
Yes, exactly. But it is great. And the reward, the feeling you get when you actually get to play the role is amazing. But it's terrifying.
You've just come back from Aldeburgh. What, for a summer season?
Yes, so that's right.
What were you doing?
So we were doing two plays in repertory, Blithe Spirit and Murder in Play, very different plays. And it was, it's great fun.
For those of us who don't follow a theatre adequately, I mean, repertory was an old idea that it still exists.
It does in very few places, which is a shame because it's a great way for an audience of seeing different plays and seeing the same actors in different plays. You rehearse one play and you open it, and the night you open it, you start rehearsing the second play, and then when that opens, you do a third play. There used to be, and it exists in very few places now, weekly rep, where you would do six plays and you would do it in repertory. Sometimes you can go back to a play at the end and, you know, it moves around. So places like the RSC work in repertory, but over a longer extent. But yes, it's very challenging and very tiring and great fun.
Is that more challenging than when you get into a play that's going to go on for some weeks or, if you're lucky, months?
It is, because you have to switch between two characters all the time, and you have to, on a very basic level, you have to keep two sets of lines in your head, and that's hard. It's hard to rehearse one play during the day and be in one character and then switch and be a totally different character at night.
How do you build your character? I mean, what you start with is a text, although I guess in some rehearsals you probably don't worry about the text to begin with.
It depends how directors work. Yeah, absolutely. You get it and you read it through many times and think, goodness, I've got no idea. And then I think what I always do is then ask questions and go through, why are they saying this? What do they think here? What's behind this thought? What's their relationship with people? And only by chucking everything in the air and asking all those questions, you can then pare things down and try something. And it might be, you know, on day one of rehearsal, you think, this is how they're going to play it. And then you meet, obviously, your other actors and how they're doing their characters. And they think, well, I'm playing it like this. And they think, oh, gosh, I can't play it in that way. So you have to work together. You know, it's the greatest team sport there is, I think, really, acting. And you have to work as a team. It's so important.
Do you know how much rehearsal time you're going to have when you start out? So you've got the security of knowing there's time to develop it. Sometimes is it too rush?
Oh, often. I mean, if you're working at places like the RSC and the National, you have beautiful kind of 7 weeks rehearsal, which is glorious. And you spend a whole week just getting to know the rest of the cast, a week sitting around the table talking about the play, and then you get up and do physical exercise, and then you actually rehearse the play for about 2 or 3 weeks. Other shows, so in Southwold, we had 2 weeks rehearsal. So you had to come off book because you had no choice, and you have to hit the floor.
What does off book mean? Sorry,
running, having learnt your lines. Yeah, just because it's hard to do things with a script in hand.
And sometimes you're doing a play which has been done many, many times before, or a few times famously.
Yes.
I think you were in Abigail's
Party.
Abigail's Party.
Yeah.
Got some good reviews, I read.
Yeah.
There, of course, there's the famous television performance, which stares everybody in the face.
Yeah.
Does every actor think, oh, I've got a complete... Everybody's seen the film. Absolutely.
And especially in that, for Lovely Roisin, who played Beverly, you know, Alison Steadman's role hung over her head, you know. But you make it your own. And every production is different because it's made up of different actors. I sense some things will be the same because the characters are the same, but it's a different person playing it and they bring parts of themselves to it that are very different. But yes, it's very hard. You know, or if you're doing Lear or Hamlet, you will always be compared to whoever's done it previously.
Nowadays, it might just well be you playing Leo, because mm-hmm. male and female switch roles. Timon of Athens was a switch?
Yes, it was, because originally it's written as a male part, and Catherine Hunter played it. Right. And Glenda Jackson's just done Lear, and so yes, so it's much more up for picks.
Do you find yourself reflecting the times that we're in?
Yes, and I think a lot of that, again, comes down to the vision of the director. But most directors will, because of where they are and where we are, will reflect the society they're in at the time. Certain plays become very dated and you can't do, or you have to do it with an ironic edge. I suppose, famously, Shakespeare-wise, the tricky one is always Taming of the Shrew, with the ending of that with Catherine being subservient to Petruchio. And how do you deal with that? You know, do you send it up? Do you play it straight?
Does she wink at the audience at the end?
You know, there's all sorts of ways. Or do you play the truth of it and wait for the audience to be appalled? I think people want very much to stamp their individuality on things. Sometimes that can be good. Sometimes that can not be good. You know, sometimes I think directors are so keen to put their stamps on productions and make it wacky and different that you lose a bit of the truth of what has actually been written. But I think everyone wants to in their own way, just like every actor wants to put their stamp on a role.
Going back to getting inside the character, that can be quite difficult, even dangerous. I mean, you could get inside some characters, and I'm sure there have been plenty of cases in history where people have done this. They've sort of lost their way as a result of the performance that they were given. Is that something you encounter?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one thing you have to realise that too, is you have to be very strong in yourself. And that doesn't mean that you don't have awful days of doubt and worry, but ultimately you have to be quite strong, because you're asked to open up emotionally in a huge way. There is no other job where on the first day of rehearsal you could be having a love affair with someone who you've only met 2 hours beforehand. It can be dangerous, and you have to hope that the director and the cast as a whole look after each other. And there's a lot more in place now for actors to be looked after.
Counsellors attached?
They do. Big theatres definitely do. Mm-hmm. The National and the RSC, because people are also working there for a long time away from families. And it's hard, and you have to open yourself up, but you have to leave it at the end of the day and go home. And if you're going back to digs without your family, that can be hard to switch off from.
You're performing on stage live, and a lot of the response to that feeds your adrenaline. You really are high.
Yeah.
And then it ends.
Yes.
And it's 11 o'clock.
Yes.
Or 10:30.
Yes. And you hope that you can still get a drink in at the pub before you have
There are plenty of actors who've gone back to the digs and opened a second and third bottle of whiskey. Yeah. I mean, it's a problem of coming down from that high, isn't it?
It really is. And I think a lot of younger people nowadays are much more aware their body is a temple, and they'll go to the gym and they'll do things like that. But I think not that long ago people did, because it is the only way to unwind, and you have to dissect it, and you want to dissect what's happened that night, and did you think you gave that line in a better way, and it can be very hard to unwind. Actors are notorious insomniacs.
How do you find it going away from your family? I mean, you've got a couple of daughters?
Two daughters, and it's really hard. Yeah. That's the hardest aspect of it. You know, it's also lovely to get away and do your own thing. But for long stints away, it's really hard. And when I did Abigail's Party out in Belfast, that was the longest time I'd ever had to be away from the girls, because I couldn't get back and forth. And you can become very lonely. But I'm very lucky. My husband's an actor as well. And so he understands, and he's tremendously supportive. I think, you know, we are supportive of each other. And the girls, it's always been part of their life. They're like, oh, Mummy, are you going away again? But then they get to come up to Stratford or Suffolk or wherever. And then it's quite exciting, and they get to meet lots of interesting people. But it is hard. It's really hard being away for a long time.
Are they going to end up?
I hope not. I hope they're going to go into a nice, stable career and earn nice money and keep me in a manner to which I wish to become accustomed.
A lawyer and a doctor will do nicely.
They're both good, so we shall see.
Going to television, which you've done quite a bit of, I was interested in one of the... It's some time since you did the Elizabeth First with Starkey. He was the writer, presenter.
He was the writer and presenter.
But there was a director, obviously, as well. That was an odd sort of thing, wasn't it?
It was very weird, and we never met David Starkey. He was the historical, serious part of it, and we were the drama bits on the side. So we had two directors, and it was great. It was one of my first jobs out of drama school, and I thought, this is it. I'm going to be sorted. and I got to wear lovely outfits and film in beautiful places. So it was great fun.
But it's quite different to a play. I
mean, very different.
What were you doing? Effectively scenes.
Yes, scenes
that illustrated something he was trying to say.
Exactly. Yeah. The director would say, okay, so over this bit, David Starkey is going to be talking about her proposed marriage to whoever, and we want you to be writing a letter and thinking of that. So it was hard because there was no script as such. So it was a lot of imagining how you would feel if Mary Queen of Scots was about to declare war on you or whatever, you know, whatever it was.
But without the normal sort of bounce back of a full cast going through a whole play.
Absolutely. And there wasn't time. I mean, it's different now, but Elizabeth was the sort of the first one of those docudramas, really. And it was shot on a shoestring budget. And we shot it in 2.5 weeks, I think, all the drama parts, shooting around all over the country. Right, we've got the right light, walk through this garden pretending you're something. But it was lovely.
How do you find the difference for yourself as an actor between a play on stage, which is going to be, let's say it's 90 minutes, and something like film or television, which is Baroque and bits? What does it do to you? How do you maintain concentration?
It's very hard. And, you know, people think, oh, it's lovely to be on a television set and do this. It is so emotionally demanding because when the cameras and everything that take hours to set up, when they're ready, you have to be ready to go. And you can't say, oh, sorry, I've got to get into character, because there's no time. And especially on films and telly, you know, time means money. And so you have to be very focused all the time. Whereas on stage, you have to be focused for that amount of time and then it finishes, and long days and early starts on film. But you get the chance to do it again if you get it wrong.
Well, it wouldn't be whether you feel that it's not right. No, the director feels it's not right.
Yes.
What's the relationship between an actor and director? Come back to that again.
It should be sympathetic to each other's needs, and a good director will help an actor get the best out of themselves and the best out of their role. And a good actor will help the director achieve the overall picture. So the director sees it in an overall picture, I suppose, and the actor has to find the way to navigate through it to paint the small strokes inside.
And you don't feel like pawns on a chessboard?
Not if you've got a good director. Yes, you can do, and especially, you know, if you're doing something and you're in the ensemble or in the chorus. And sometimes directors who aren't as understanding of that can be very dismissive of the people in smaller roles. And that's really hard, and it makes you feel small. But a good director will make, you know, the maid feel as good as the lead. And that's how it should be.
So a lot of challenges face an actor. There's the getting into the character and yet not losing yourself.
Yes.
Keeping control of that. Relationship with the rest of the crew, the actors, as well as all the people surrounding you. Relationship with the director. The high points and low points. And then you have the fact that you may not be in work all the time because there's the sort of periods of resting in between. What will the next job be? Where will it come from? And you presumably have an agent who does most of the work for you on that. But it's hard. What makes actors do it? You go back to college and teach students and you must advise them. They must ask this question.
Because there is nothing like you talked about the high or the kick you get out of the achievement of getting through it. I think because there is so much terror and worry, it's adrenaline surges. And creating a piece of artwork as a group is lovely. So it's a wonderful feeling. And you work with, on the whole, you work with the most exciting, fun, childlike people who are lovely. And then it's a great reward for the hard work, but you have to put in the work to get the reward.
What are you going to do next?
Back to teaching, which is great, and hoping that the phone will ring.
That was Imogen Slaughter telling us about the highs and lows of being an actor.